Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Okay, so you just heard during that break that WBUR is in the middle of an ambitious experiment, the WBUR Marathon. That's squeezing a week's worth of fundraising into 26.2 hours, and we are in hour 8 right now. And we wanted to spend the rest of today's program showcasing some reasons why we think it is worth it to you to support Radio Boston and WBUR. Because, in my humble opinion, Radio Boston really is unique. We get the most provocative thinkers from around Massachusetts, and we let the conversation go where it needs to go. We have fun, we take risks, and there are always surprises. So we're going to listen back to some of those surprising moments right now. First, Harvard Law School professor Randall Kennedy. We talked with him last December in the midst of student-led efforts to change campus names and symbols associated with racism and slavery. Randall Kennedy had written a New York Times op-ed that dared to suggest that some student activists may be overreacting. And I wondered if there was a generational divide at play in Kennedy's thinking. That's where things got interesting. Here's an excerpt. In a response to your op-ed, a couple of your colleagues at Harvard Law School, John Hansen and Jacob Lipton, wrote in on their blog, The Justice Blog, that they basically see that the idea of genuinely hurtful, powerful, inhibiting racism that you seem to be saying is the one that deserves attention, in their words, is, you know, of the era of Bull Connor, George Wallace, the KKK, and so on. And then they go on to say that that sort of ugly racism of that sort is no longer of us or from us, but rather, and this is their words, racism today is of a very different version. This type of racism can be hard to see and is often easy to dismiss, but it is malleable and insidious. Mm-hmm. And so, first of all, what's your response to that? Basically, they're saying, hey, Professor Kennedy, it doesn't have to be dogs and water hoses.
Mm-hmm. I'd say a couple things. Number one, we've seen very vividly in the past year that death-dealing racism is very much with us. It's with us right now as we're speaking on the streets of America. Does that exhaust what we're fighting? No, it does not. There is structural racism. There is implicit racism. There is subtle racism. All of these things we confront, and there is nothing that I have written that suggests otherwise. What I say, though, is let's be careful. Is everything racism? Is everything that I disagree with racism? If somebody treats me badly, is it racism or are they a jackass? There are all sorts of bad things in American life, and I think that we need to be very clear and careful in attributing what it is or describing exactly what it is that is the problem. Now, to get back to your point about generation, I think there is probably a generational thing going on. I clearly remember going to movie theaters and going to the side door and sitting in the balconies that were reserved for black people. I clearly remember campuses in which you didn't have to scratch your head about why people were doing what they were doing. It was very clear why they were doing what they were doing, and they weren't apologetic about it. And there's another thing very important. In the early 1960s, when people were facing overt, unapologetic racism, how did the great champions of black advancement proceed? They proceeded with a dignity that was just absolutely unassailable.
Okay. Do you think that some student activists today are acting without that same dignity?
Yes. Listen, some are pushing me away in the way that they have acted and in the things that they have said.
Do you have any specific examples of how some students or student dissidents, as you put them, have pushed you away?
For instance, I've had some interactions with students in which they, you know, take the attitude that, well, you're not accepting 100% of what we're saying, therefore you are our adversary. Therefore, you just don't get it. Therefore, you're just, a complacent, comfortable person who, you know, is just sort of sitting on your laurels. And when, you know, somebody takes the position that they can't, you know, they don't want to hear it. Either you're 100% with us or forget it. Well, frankly, my attitude with that is, you know, likely to be, well, forget it then.
Where do you think that comes from? Because that meaning the 100% with us or forget it that you've experienced. Because I'm asking you as a black man and mm-hmm. also as a father of teenage mm-hmm. black children growing up in this country. Where do you think that comes from?
I'm not sure where it comes from. I think one contributor to it, and by the way, I think in the aftermath of what's happened, I think you can see it. There is an unhelpful, as far as I'm concerned, pandering to students by people who act as if anything that comes out of the students' mouths is, of course, correct. As if it is verboten to criticize the students. This comes from some of their putative allies. Well, these allies are not helping the students. I've certainly been wrong, and sometimes the students are wrong. And when the students are wrong, it does not help them for their elders to bite their tongues and be quiet and just let them continue to be wrong.
Is that happening at Harvard
Law School? I think that I see pandering, and I do not think that that is useful at all. Go on, ask me further questions.
Okay, no, but this is really important. This is really important. And in fact, I have to be perfectly honest, I've had a lot of conversations with you. I have, this is a rare occasion when I've seen you as forcefully animated about something as I'm seeing right now.
Well,
so I appreciate it.
I feel very strongly about this. The fact of the matter is the student dissidents are to be congratulated. And I want to make that very clear. They are to be congratulated. Because at a lot of institutions, has there been complacency? Yes. The students are the ones who have put on the table, well, what about these symbols? What about John C. Calhoun at Yale? What about Woodrow Wilson? What about the royal family? You take these tours of these universities and people either don't say anything or they present these figures in the most anodyne way. The students have said, let's bring it out. That's just one part of what they've done. The student dissidents have done a big service. At the same time, the dissidents in some ways have carried on in a way that I think, frankly, has been counterproductive and has hurt their cause.
Harvard Law School's Randall Kennedy. We spoke with him back in December, just one of the many provocative voices you hear on Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We'll be right back.